What a blessing. I will glory in the cross. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is Ryan in here? He's in Children's Church. All right, then I won't say nothing about him then. We are proud for Ryan Spivey, who graduated from the Denton Police Academy. He's now a police officer for the city of Denton, and graduated Mean Green a couple years ago. Did he graduate in December? He's younger than I thought. No, I'm just kidding. But graduated now, a police officer, and has plans as he moves forward. We're praying for him, and it's good to have another police officer in our congregation, and we appreciate the others here. And Tyler Barnett graduated. He's here this morning. And I understand you got a job up in Plano's. And Plano. And we're proud for Brother Tyler. And good to see all of our college students in, or most of them back in for the summer. I know Brother Udd will be headed out this week, right? Headed out and be gone for the summer, but getting married this summer. And so, anyway, everybody's growing up. I'll get a little emotional. It'll be all right. We'll be all right. But we are excited for not only our high school graduates, but for our college students and those who are graduating, and we're proud for you guys. And what a blessing, amen. And I tell you what, the next generation is so important, and it's amazing to me how many those who have grown up in church, they get out of high school, out of college, and they just kind of go off. And some of them come back eventually, and I believe if they're really saved, they'll come back eventually. That's Bible, by the way. By their fruits you shall know them. And I'm glad to see many who graduate from college and stay by the stuff. Right, Brother Patrick? Right? Brother Patrick's trying to teach Brother Scott a few things. Right. All right. Anyway, that was all personal stuff. So let's just preach this morning. Looking forward to tonight with Brother Weaver and the West Coast Baptist College being here. You're going to enjoy that immensely. First, let me get my notes out of the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and let's look at just verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Let me read that again. For all things are for your sakes. And really it's talking about sufferings above and persecution and all these things. All these things are for your sakes. That what? That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Can I just remind you this morning that, you know, we've seen a lot of rain here lately, haven't we? Rain that we did need. Now it's to the point where it needs to stop a little bit, maybe unless you go a little further west. But in order to have green grass, in order to have water to drink, we got to go through the storms. And we all know that, don't we? Everybody in here knew that the lakes were not going to fill up over a period of 2 or 3 years at a half inch a time. It never has been that way. You can't just go back in the record and say, oh, about a quarter of an inch here, a quarter of an inch there, and look at the lakes filled up. No. 2007, it's a flood. You know, 2014, 15, it's a flood. It takes the storms in order for things to grow. In order for us to grow as Christians, in order for us to grow as human beings, it's the tests. That's why we have a testimony, a test. And it's the storms of life that God uses to conform us to the image of His Son. And it's grace that enables us to go through the storm. It's grace that empowers us to go through the storms. Grace is what we need. Enabling grace. See, grace is not just what gives us eternal life. Grace is what gives us sustainable life, or gives us power in the life we have now. It's grace that not only saves us, but it's grace that we live by. And so let's take a little time. We preach this a lot, the same principle, but it's a comforting and encouraging principle. And so that's what we're going to preach on this morning. Talking about God's grace is enough. In fact, it's not just enough. It's more than enough. More than enough. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time we have to come and worship You. Thank You for the time we have to come study Your Word. And God, I pray this morning that You would make Your grace very evident to us. Lord, we not take it for granted, but realize that we have more than enough. We thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. The old song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We always like to go to the last one. When we've been there, but there's a lot of verses between there. One of the verses says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. We like the first and the last verse, but the two verses between are different. And Mr. Watts reminds us that there are going to be many toils and sufferings and strife in this life, but it's grace that brings us through, and it's grace that will lead us home. That's the amazing grace. The amazing grace that saves us, that gives us eternal life, and the amazing grace that brings us through the lost job. The amazing grace that brings us through the death in the family. The amazing grace that brings us through the health problems. It's the amazing grace that brings us through the storms of life and enables us. And it's grace that eventually will bring us home. God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace is enough, and it's more than enough. I'm reminded of my own life, how I can go back in my own life, and I have experienced God's grace, His enabling grace in my own life many times. And we've used that old song, that's an old Johnny Flanagan song, Here Comes Jesus with His Grace Again, just about the time I need it. It's not that God gives us grace, and He does give us grace every day, but that grace that we need in the times of storms, that comes just when we need it. God always gives us the grace we need. We're talking about grace, God's amazing grace. It's grace of God that forgives us of our sins. Ephesians 2, very familiar passage, says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not at works, lest any man should boast. I want to remind you this morning that salvation is found by grace through faith. That it's not of anything we can do. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way into the presence of God. You cannot earn your way to eternal life. It's only through God's grace that we have eternal life. In other words, grace means God's freely given favor. It's what He gives to us. We don't earn it. I know this is a shock for some of you, but when we get to heaven, they're not just going to be Baptists there. All right, I know that's going to be a shock. It's going to be a real shock to me. Get to heaven, there's not just Baptists up there. It's those who put their faith and trust in Jesus and nothing else. Those who, by grace, through faith, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they didn't put their faith in the baptismal waters. Baptismal waters doesn't get you to heaven. Being baptized in some church doesn't get you saved. Doesn't get you saved from God's wrath. Doesn't get you saved from hell to have a home in heaven. Being baptized does not save you. Whether you got baptized sprinkled as a kid, as a baby, or as an adult, whatever it is, baptism does not save. Being a church member does not save you. In other words, joining the Baptist church or joining the Methodist church or joining the Presbyterian church, joining the Catholics will not save you. Will not save you. Doesn't get you any closer to heaven than you are now. Salvation is not found in a church. Salvation is not found in good works. And listen, I am moved by the pictures I see in Nepal. I'm moved by that. I'm moved by the recently the soldiers who passed away in the helicopter crash. I'm moved by those things. But simply giving to Brother Travis and giving him $150 to help one family there in Nepal will not save you from the wrath of God upon your sins. It will not get you into heaven. Giving in the offering this morning will not get you into heaven. Giving to the Red Cross will not get you into heaven. Won't get you there. Giving to the Salvation Army will not get you into heaven. It's only by grace through faith. Not of works, it says there. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In fact, the Bible goes on to say that if you could get there to heaven by your works, then Christ died in vain. Why would Christ even need to die if you could get there on your own? Salvation is not found in being a good dad or a good mother. Salvation is not found in being a moral person. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good person. And no doubt you are. We have lots of good moral people in the United States of America. A lot of good moral people, especially in Texas. where some people at least were raised right. And the Board of Education is still used in the state of Texas. Good moral people who have good moral parents. But being from a good moral family and being a moral family yourself or being a moral person doesn't save you. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Doing something will not save you. Performing some ritual will not save you. Being on somebody's church roll will not save you. Giving will not save you. Listen, one day you're going to get to heaven and there's not going to be a big way station up there with your good works on one side and your bad works on one side. That's not found in the Bible anywhere. And there's not going to be a big ceremony and a big judgment up there where we're going to see whether your good works outweigh your bad works, right? That's not going to happen. It's not found in the Bible. And whether your good works outweigh your bad works is not going to be, it's not going to get you into heaven or not get you into heaven. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved for what Jesus has already done. And Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. And then He died on the cross. Listen, He did not pay for crimes that He had done. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Jesus was sinless. Never one time did He commit a sinful deed. Never one time did He have a sinful thought. He was God in the flesh. And God cannot sin. He was sinless, and yet He allowed the Roman soldiers to place Him on that cross. Notice how I worded it. Jesus said Himself, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. They didn't have to force Him down on that cross. They didn't have to hold His hands down when they pierced Him through the hands and through the feet. No, He willingly laid His life down. Not for crimes He had done, not for sins He had committed. But God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Isaiah puts it a little different. He says, but God hath laid on Him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And there on the cross, Jesus died for my sins. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ took that death for me. He took the penalty for me. He died in my place. He died in my place. He was my substitute. He took the wrath of God for me in order that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven, in order that I might have eternal life. When I put my faith and my trust in Him at the age of 6 years old, at that very moment, a transaction took place, a transaction I could not see. It was a legal transaction, and my sins were erased from my sinful record, and Christ's sinless record was put in its place. Amen. I've been saved from the wrath of God. I've been saved from the penalty of sin by Jesus Christ's death, burial, and His resurrection. And I hope this morning you've experienced God's grace, His saving grace. That there's been a point in your life when you can go back, whether it's age of 6 or age of 20 or age of 30, and you can go back and say, yes, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. My personal Savior. It's a personal relationship. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a set of rules. That's what religion means. In other words, you can't do these 10 steps to get yourself to heaven. There's only one step, and that's believing and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Realizing your sin put Him on the cross. It was your sins that was laid upon Him on the cross. It was for your sins that He died, that He shed His blood, and that He gave His life there on Calvary. It was for your sins that He was put in the grave. And thankfully, glory, hallelujah, it was for your sins that He rose again from the dead. Amen. Having defeated, having paid for your sins in full. The proof of His paying for our sins in full is the resurrection. It's also proof that He was God, had no sins of His own. Are you saved this morning? Have you been saved by grace through faith? Do you know today, John says there in 1 John, he says, these things have I written unto you, that ye might know that you have eternal life. And this is life. It's in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. These things have I written unto you that you might what? Know that you have eternal life. See, Being saved is not a think so. I don't know how many times I've knocked on a door or talked to somebody in my office or met someone who said, and I've asked the question, "Sir, do you know you're saved?" And they've said the statement, "I hope I am." See, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live in that hope so salvation. You can know so. That's what John said in 1 John. He said that you might know that you have eternal life. And listen, it's the way you know is by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not in religion, not in a church, not in yourself, not in your good works, but putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Christians this morning, be reminded this morning that the grace of salvation is amazing. He saved us from our sins. He died for our sins. He died willingly for our sins. What a truth. What an amazing truth. He died for you. If you haven't accepted the grace of God this morning, I pray that you will. I beg you. Here in just a little bit, we'll have a verse invitation. You come down the front and we'll show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. How you can have and experience the grace of God in salvation. But you see, you understand as Christians, and most of you have been saved a while, and there are some new Christians in here, and understand that grace is not just what saves us, but it's also what we live by. It is grace that by grace we're saved, but it's also by grace we live. In other words, the power that God gives in that moment of salvation is the same power that enables us to live the Christian life. Grace is not just for salvation. Grace is for enablement. Enablement. Empowerment. This is a truth that maybe just in the last 10 or 15 years I've trying and fully realizing that I cannot compass the Christian life on my own. That I cannot do it. That I can't go through the storms of life and I can't experience all the things that life deals my way on my own. Paul understood this. The apostles understood this. I need the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you're still in 2 Corinthians, you can just turn a couple of pages over. Chapter 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." It is grace that enables us to do good works. It's grace that enables us to live the Christian life. Notice it says, it uses the word abound. It doesn't just say God's going to give you grace. It says God's going to give you abounding grace. Above measure. Above and beyond. God will give you that grace that you need. God rises to every occasion and to every need and gives us grace. That inner working grace of God. God gives us the resources, the grace that we would need. Not just at salvation, but throughout an entire life. See, when we grow together, we grow in grace. As we grow in the Lord, we grow in grace. We grow in the understanding of God's sufficiency in our own life. In other words, God's grace is enough. It's more than enough. God is so much bigger than we would ever imagine. And God's power is so much bigger than stronger than we could ever realize. God can do anything. And that power that God has, those resources that God has, He says, are available to us. That boggles my mind. That you have the grace of God at your fingertips. That you have the power of God at your fingertips. The grace of God, that enabling power that you need. The all-sufficiency of God. And that He'll meet every need that you have and go beyond the needs and meet our wants. God's grace abounds in times of neglect. I tell you what, I don't know how many times in my own life where I felt like Elijah and I've said, "I'm the only one here, Lord. I'm the only one left that's serving You, Lord." Never felt that way? Maybe you don't use those words. Maybe it's just, "Lord, I feel like I'm all alone. I'm all alone in this, all alone. Even though I'm married, even though I have kids, or whatever the case, Lord, I feel I'm all alone. I feel I'm all alone at school." I haven't shared this in a while. When I was in high school, I always tell you about my brother in high school being called Dippy Dan the Holy Man. That's because he was a nerd. But he was also a great Christian. He had a great testimony, and they liked making fun of him. And he was skinny, and and physically wasn't very intimidating. Okay, nobody got that one. He's 120 pounds soaking wet, and so everybody liked to pick on him, you know? So they found it. Anyway, that's a whole other story. God enabled us as well to have a good Christian testimony in high school. And I remember as a sophomore going to my dad and actually doing I call it my 3-month rebellion time. And because of another preacher and a couple other adults in my life really helped steer me back in that little period of time of bringing me back where I should be. During that period of time, my dad also could tell there was something wrong, and my dad came to me and said, "Hey, what's going on, and what's the problem?" And I began to tell him about feeling like I was alone. I didn't have any friends at school because nobody wanted to hang out with me because I wouldn't go. I mean, when you are from small town USA, all high schoolers on the weekend, I mean, it's go find the local cemetery and get drunk. You know, everybody goes out to the party and whatever. And I didn't do those things. And so I told my dad, I had friends because I grew up in the same school district all my life. I mean, I had 50 or 60 of us that went from kindergarten all the way through high school together. And they were friends, but I didn't have a close friend. I didn't have that friend that you go stay the night with type stuff. Just didn't happen. There were a couple other good Christian guys in the school, but they were, you know how you do form cliques. They kind of weren't in that area, and so we didn't spend a lot of time. We weren't in the same churches either, so that's a whole other story. But I just remember telling my dad, I don't have any friends, and I cried, which was a big deal for a teenage boy. I cried to my dad. I just, you know, woe is me. You know, the worm thing and squish the worm. I don't know how that, it does relate to us. How many times have you felt the same way? You felt alone. If you live the Christian life at work and you have a good testimony at work, more than often than not, you're going to feel alone sometimes. Some of you may be in a position where you have some Christians around you, but most often than not, you're going to feel alone. It's grace that will enable you to go through that loneliness. Some of you, through the loss of loved ones and through the loss of others, you get to that place where you feel alone. Can I tell you, you are not alone. Jesus said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And it's the grace of God that enables us to make it through those times when we feel we're all alone, when we feel we're neglected. It is God's grace that keeps us humble when we feel strong. I don't know how many times I've been going along in the ministry and going along in life and things are going great. And then, boom, something big happens, and man, I've just been knocked down. And when I try to get back up, I can't get back up. And then I began to pray and began to seek God's face, and I found out, you know what? About the last 6 months, I've been doing it on my own. Because things were going well, and I just felt strong enough and carried it on my back, and here we go, right? Can I tell you, we're not strong enough. We don't have the power and the strength to make it through this life on our own. We need God's grace. We need God's grace. And sometimes He has to humble us. Sometimes we get humbled by the Lord and bring us back to that place of dependence upon Him. In other words, we ought to be dependent upon Him. By the way, we depend upon Him. He can be trusted. You can depend upon a best friend all you want. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go for a best friend for advice or to a mom or dad. All those things should be important. But the greatest one you can be dependent upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never let you down. He builds us up when we hurt and when we're weak. We go to Him and ask for that strength when we're hurting and when we're weak, and He'll give you the strength. By the way, His grace is unlimited. His grace is unlimited. The comfort I receive from my family is limited. The comfort I receive and the strength I receive from even my own physical body is limited. But God's grace is unlimited. Unlimited. He carries us when we need to be carried. Right? If you've never experienced that, maybe you're a relatively new Christian, you've never experienced it. There'll be a time in your life when you will experience it. I know there's many times in my life where I've seen Him carry me through, where I've felt the undergirding of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God carrying me through a situation. It's amazing. It's amazing. It will revolutionize your Christian life when you get to the place where you're totally dependent upon Him and you humble yourself before Him and you yield yourself for Him in humility and broken and contrite. I think we've heard that somewhere. And we humble before Him and allow Him and His strength to carry us through. When we're confused, we can hold on to His grace and His power. Notice how I say this now. God's grace is better than a counselor. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to counselors. I'm not saying you may not need to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm not saying those things. Maybe you need to see some. But I can remind you that God's grace is better than that. God's grace is better than the pastoral words. You can come to my office for counseling, and my office door is always open. My email's right there, readily available. You can call me, contact me, and I'll certainly give you some advice according to the Word of God and do my very best. But listen, all the pastoral words are not near as strong and as powerful as the Lord's grace. And I've already beat this in the ground, but a friend either. I think so many times we go through a circumstance and storm in life and we begin to hang our strength on other people. Oh, this is what she said. This is what he said. He said he'd do this for me. She would do this for me. And we began to, the pastor said this, and my counselor said this. And some of those things are good. I'm not saying they're not. But I'm saying you better be dependent upon the Lord. We need to be dependent upon Him. We need to come to Him depending upon Him. Look back at 2 Corinthians again in chapter 4. Look at verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure, verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. By the way, the treasure talked about there is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that, we talk about the grace of God. The grace of God. But we have this treasure, the New Testament gospel, the New Testament grace, if you would, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and what? Class? And not of us. We are troubled, verse 8, on every side, yet what? Not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You can go through there and you can read some more. But verse 15 again. For all things are for your sakes. I know I say this a lot. I'll say it again this morning. God always has your best interests in mind. It's always for your sake. I don't care what you may be experiencing this morning. What problem may be in your life. It is for your sake. It is for your sake. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Listen, all things are for the glory of God. And as you experience a low time in life, or when you experience a trial, you experience a testing. By the way, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. No matter what the TV evangelist tells you on the radio, that you can experience some kind of Christianity where you don't have any problems, that is false. And that is preposterous. And it's not found in the Bible. Jesus' own words, He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Not my words, those are Christ's words. And just because you get saved does not mean all your problems are going to be washed away and wiped away. Now, your sins are, hallelujah. Doesn't mean your problems are begone. I'm just so thankful that God enables us and gives us grace through the problems. I didn't have that before salvation. And it's the greatest power that I can have in times of tribulation. And so we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the great gospel of grace. We have the grace and the power of God in these earthen vessels. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This verse is used a lot too, I know, but it's another one to remind us of. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. is this, the verse is in the Bible. Paul, underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put it here. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I don't know how many times I've had people come to my office, especially young married adults, and they'll say things to me, and they think they're the only ones who've ever experienced that problem. And you'd be surprised how many of you, how many of us have the very same problems. They really, really are. Most of us experience such as common to man. Most problems you experience in life are common to the person sitting next to you, common to the person sitting down the chair from you, or in front of you, or behind you. Notice the verse says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Aren't you glad He's faithful? "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." By the way, that word tempted there means tested. "Above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that he may be able to bear it." So Paul makes it very clear, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that that God will bring you, take you through the problems of life. And in the problems of life, he will not put you through a problem or a storm or a temptation that ye are not able to bear. And when you get to the point, when you get to the breaking point, he will make a way of escape. We use that illustration that God always has his hand on the thermostat. God always has his hand on the thermostat. God is the one who is leading and guiding in our life. And he will bring you through. He will give you the grace and enablement in the time of temptation to come through that testing, through that trial, through that storm. And when you get to the point where you can't take it, he'll turn the AC back on. Those are refreshing times, aren't they? Sometimes we're down in the valley. I know these are cliche, but it's just a great illustration no matter what you say. Sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes we're down those low spots. Sometimes we experience those. You can't have the mountaintops without the valleys. It's just, I know it's cliche, but it's true. You can't have the flowers without the rain. It's part of life. But as a Christian, it's a part of life which we don't have to do on our own. We have the grace of God that enables us and strengthens us and carries us through the problem. You don't have to go through those on your own. And listen, you can go to your parents and you can go to a counselor. You can go to your pastor. You can go to your Sunday school teacher. Go to a deacon. You can go to a family friend. You can go to a coworker and you can get good advice. And I think you should do that. The Bible says there's wisdom, multitude of counsel. But please, please, please understand, as a Christian, won't you kneel before God, humble yourself before Him, and get advice from your Creator, your loving Savior, who saved you by His grace and who will enable you in this life by His grace. Jesus said He came to give us life and to give it what? More abundantly. Life was not meant to be endured, but enjoyed. And if you're not enjoying life, you must be going through something. If you're a Christian this morning, you know Jesus as Savior, and you're not enjoying life, then you're going through something. And I'm telling you, if you're going through something, are you totally dependent upon Him? Or are you dependent upon you? Cast all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. He cares for you this morning. He loves you this morning. And He wants to empower you and give you the grace to take you through whatever you're experiencing, whatever that may be. We must trust in Him. We're going to stay in Corinthians again. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And God is just like a parent. In fact, that's how He helps us to relate to Him. He calls Himself the Heavenly Father, and He is our Abba Father. He is our Father. And just like a father, and just like we are with my kids, I want the best for them. I don't intentionally hurt them. I want to take care of them. God does all those things for us. When my kids go through a problem and they need something, I do my very best to take care of the problem and help them through the problem, right? One thing about it, my resources are limited. God's are not. God as our Heavenly Father who will take us through those problems. Paul trusted the Lord. Look at verse 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, for now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. In other words, Paul didn't want to be thought of more than he was. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this, in other words, he was giving a thorn in the flesh, whatever it may be. A lot of scholars think it was an eye problem, some thorn in his flesh, some physical problem that in his own mind, and he says it, helped him to be careful about what he thought of himself. Helped him to be careful of depending upon himself. I'll say it a little better in a minute. For these things I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that they might depart from me. And God said to me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Notice how it's put. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take no pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, what? Then I am strong. Paul understood and realized that God had a reason in his life for that particular buffeting, for that particular problem in his life. Whether it was a physical ailment or whatever it may be, Paul realized that God had it there for a reason. And that his weakness, I love that statement, for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then am I strong. It enabled Paul to depend upon God rather than himself. Right? Exactly right. Paul was a very educated man. Paul came from a wealthy home. Paul had everything he'd ever had as far as what he could have wanted and needed. And therefore, I think he understood that he would have a tendency to depend upon himself in every situation. All of us do that. All of us, because of our selfish nature, have a tendency to depend upon ourselves in any given situation. All of us have a tendency to depend upon ourselves. All of us have a tendency to want glory in any given situation. That if I get myself out of this mess, then I receive reward or glory for that. All of us have that tendency. All of us have a tendency to depend upon ourselves. And what Paul's saying is, when I'm weak, then am I strong. When you come to the place in your life, whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's a relational issue, whether it's an issue of sorrow, whether it's a family issue, whether it's a financial issue, when you get to the place in your life when you are totally dependent upon Him, that's when you're strong. When you depend upon yourself, that's when you're weak. I want to make it very clear. Don't depend upon yourself. When we depend upon the Lord, we'll become better instead of bitter through the problems. We depend upon ourselves many times, we become bitter. We must learn to depend upon the Lord. By the way, some say, well, if I had a reason why. Well, Paul wasn't given a reason why. Some say, well, I wish I knew why I was going through this, or wish I knew why I was experiencing. Paul didn't know why. He didn't know why. But he trusted God. Amen. Listen, I'm just going to trust God through the storm. I'm going to depend upon Him through the storm. We must get to the place where we realize that we don't have it, but God does. Amen. That I am weak at my very best, but He is strong. And the grace that He gave me at salvation is the grace that will carry me through the storms and the trials of life. My question this morning is, are you experiencing that grace? Have you experienced that grace in the area of salvation? Do you know you're saved this morning? And then, Christian, this morning, are you experiencing grace? Teenagers, are you experiencing grace? You know, it's tough in this life to live a testimony for the Lord. It's tough. And it's going to get tougher as time goes on. Are you experiencing grace? Adults, are you experiencing grace this morning? Have you experienced that grace? What a great treasure we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a great treasure we have in the grace that we experience. But we're just earthen vessels. Remember the verse now? We preached on that years ago. What's an earthen vessel? It's just a clay pot. That reference there is referring to back in that day of those cheap clay pots. Every household had them, poor or rich. They were used for holding water. They were used for holding sewer. They were used for holding trash. They were just cheap clay pots. And Paul describes himself as just a cheap clay pot. I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm just a cheap clay pot that's been given the grace of God in this earthen vessel. Why? Why? So that I would not get the credit, but that God will get the credit. Let's depend upon Him, not upon ourselves. Let's all stand. We need to allow God's grace to comfort us and enable us to be comforted. We need to allow God's grace to comfort and enable us to be a comfort to others around us. Listen, as you depend upon God, others will see that. And that verse there talks about will be a testimony to those around us. As we are comforted, we comfort others, and others see God's sufficiency in us. So let's do all things to the glory of God, in order that He will get the credit and not us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your grace, Your enabling grace, Your amazing grace that saves us. And I pray this morning if there's someone here who's not saved, they might get saved today. And Lord, help us as Christians to depend upon You. Help us to depend upon Your grace. Lord, if there's someone here who is going through a test and a trial, I pray, God, that they would experience Your grace in a greater way this morning. Lord, when we're weak, then You're strong. Help us to humble ourselves before You, broken and contrite. In Jesus' name.